In our Bible study this past Wednesday, we read this famous parable of the sower, and I think I started by asking what people thought of it. Now, Ken Barrett, who always does his homework and does the reading ahead and has some thoughts right away, which is very helpful, said that he thinks we are supposed to be the good soil in the story, right? Well, that makes sense. We should be the good soil. And, you know, I got to be honest, my response to that was a little, I was like, yeah, I mean, I suppose I'm supposed to be the good soil, but I really identified with some of the other soil in the story, you know? I really felt like sometimes I feel like the path and I don't know what's going on. And sometimes I feel like the rocky ground where I'm just, yeah, this is really great, and then, or sometimes I, you know, am like the soil choked with thorns, and they're like, they got a good thing going, but it's overwhelmed by everything else that's happening, and I just can't do what I want to do. And sometimes I suppose I am like the good soil, and there, I, you know, bears fruit in me, and a hundredfold, and whatever, the math always confuses me in this story, but we'll take it that the math is okay. So as we discussed it in Bible study, you know, I tried to make the point that, you know, it's not that we have to be the good soil at every moment, but it's about what God does in us. So what I want to do is talk through these options again and kind of see what it's like to be these different kinds of soil. When anyone hears the word of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. This is the part of, you know, people not understanding. And definitely there are places and times when I don't understand what's happening. Certainly times when I don't understand what God is trying to do. Remember, the seed in this story is the word of God. God is the sower, planting this seed in us. We are the soil. We are the dirt. I do like that part of the story, that we get to be the dirt and are not responsible for the rest, for the growth, for the other things. And there's definitely times when God plants something in me and I have no idea what to do with it. And it's gone before I even knew what to do. Then there is the rocky ground. As for all that's sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet when trouble or persecution arises, that person immediately falls away. This one I felt was very relatable. Is it just me? Do you ever get excited about something and then it just sort of fades away? It just gets lost in the other things going on? I can't help but in thinking of this rocky soil and getting excited for something and being all worked up and then just sort of fading. I can't help but thinking that this is the expectation that many people have for the response to the murder of George Floyd and to the movement for racial equity in our country that's going on right now. A lot of people think that especially white folks like me and like many of us on this call are going to be all excited for this for a minute and then we're going to forget about it and we're going to go back to the rest of our lives, especially when it gets hard. When we get scorched, when things wither, we'll just, we'll just go back and think, well, it must be fine now because I'm not hearing about it on the news. I think we need to challenge ourselves and hold each other accountable to not do that, to try to continue to be a part of this movement that has begun so that it's not, once again, just black people and people of color in this country trying to do the work on their own, but that all people of goodwill will try to build racial equity and stop the systemic injustices and abuses that happen in our society. So it's about putting in the work to create lasting change, and that's not the rocky soil. You know, part of the reason that I think folks are concerned about that, part of the reason I'm concerned about that, is this rocky ground image definitely reminds me of the American response to the pandemic that we're in, right? At first, we're all like, we're going to stay home, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And then as soon as it got difficult, as soon as it got hard, let's go out, And then when it became wearing masks, I don't want to do that. And now our country is just exploding in numbers of cases. Thankfully, the death rate is not increasing right now, and hopefully it remains that way. We can pray that it remains that way. But with tens of thousands of new cases discovered every day, of this coronavirus, this COVID-19, we are, you know, they're saying we're not, it's not that this is the second wave, it's that we never really stopped the first wave in this country. This is just the first wave making its way from, you know, New York and Seattle to Texas and Arizona and Florida. So this is really a dangerous thing. And I do think it's the sort of short attention span, you know, unwillingness to really engage in something over the long term that is causing this surge in cases. I mean, right now I read the other day that we get more new cases of COVID-19 every day in this country right now than ever happened in Wuhan, China. So like there, they only had like 50 or 80,000 confirmed cases total. And they locked things down for a couple of months and they had 6 more cases one day. So they tested like 1 million people or some insane thing. And yet here we are getting more cases every single day than they ever had in that place where it started. And we just lack the willpower and the discipline to stop this, to change our behaviors in a meaningful way. So pray for us as a nation and pray for us, but also stay home and try to talk to people and try to do, you know, what we can. It seems like what I wrote down here, I guess I can read what I wrote for this sermon instead of just saying what I remember of it, is that we are a nation of rocky soil, of short attention spans, and most importantly, we're a nation of selfishness disguised as freedom. That's the rocky ground that we've been in recent times. Lord, have mercy and allow us to do better. Moving on, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. This one is also relatable because the cares of this world are so, so much. I mean, the racial injustice, the pandemic, the economic fallout of the pandemic that's going on, and all of that on top of what's always been happening here. I mean, there's wars and violence and unrest and inequity, and it's the world is a mess. And then there's like the personal stuff. People get sick. People lose their jobs. Things happen to us. Relationships are frayed. It's a really tough world to live in right now. And it's hard to focus on the Word of God when we're just trying to get through the day. Sometimes I wonder if the cares of this world, as described by Jesus here in this story, if these things that I'm talking about are the cares of this world, this racism and the pandemic and the economic fallout, those things, are those just the cares of this world? I don't think they are. I think that those are actual gospel issues because they relate to death and life, to human suffering and human flourishing. They're about what's right for people, what's good for humanity. They're about how we are whole. And I think that is the nature of the gospel, is to make us whole with one another and with God. And so I think it's right to talk about these issues, not simply as the frivolous cares of the world, but as the deep things that connect us to one another and ultimately connect us to or separate us from God. I mean, Jesus, in his own ministry, he cared deeply about some of these things. He fed the hungry, he cured the sick, he cast out demons from the afflicted. He welcomed the stranger and the vulnerable. This was the stuff that Jesus actually did. So I don't think it's just the cares of this world. These are the things that when we follow Jesus, when we participate in Jesus' work, these are the things that we are doing. This is the fruit that we hope to blossom and grow in us and from us. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Finally, the good soil that we are supposed to be. Sometimes I think I manage to be the good soil. Sometimes I do think that God's word flourishes in me and bears fruit. And as I think of how this happens, I imagine that I make some effort, but it's not because of me that the fruit is born in the good soil. That's the thing that I like about this story, as I referenced briefly earlier. In this story, we are the dirt. We're just the stuff where it happens. The dirt isn't in control of the growth. The dirt isn't responsible for the growth that takes place. The dirt is just there. It's a product of what's happened to it, of what's been around for months and years and centuries. The dirt can be poisoned, or the dirt can be rich and full of nutrients. And it's not the dirt that made that happen. It's everything else that made that happen. God's word is the seed poured into us. Our other lessons today, like from Isaiah 55, talk about the weather necessary for healthy growth, and there's reference to, you know, the who tends these plants. But our gospel lesson today doesn't talk about that. It's just the sower and the seed and the dirt and the growth. There's a lot more to growth than just a seed and some dirt. There's what happens to that dirt. But ultimately, this is about what God does in us. Today's story is a story about what God does in us. We don't have any of these active or important roles. It's just what God does. God provides the growth. When I hear this story, I always think of a photo that I took, 20 years ago-ish, just about 20 years ago, in England. I was there on a choir tour with this choir that I was in, and we went for an afternoon to a castle. It's called Beeston Castle. It's in Cheshire, like 30 miles from Liverpool, only pretty far north compared to where else we were on the trip. And it's sort of the ruins of a castle. Like, there's still a tower and there's some stuff. But basically, the castle is a big, wide-open grass field with a wall, like a low wall, like maybe a couple feet high in some places around it. There's still sort of a big, imposing castle front. But once you get inside, there's no inside. You're just outside in this field that used to be a castle. And I was there with, it was like a young men's choir. So there were kids from like eighth grade through college. I was in college at the time, one of the leaders of the group. And we were just given a couple hours to hang out at this castle that wasn't really a castle. And we were just chilling. You know, people were like playing catch or hacky sack or whatever people did 20 years ago, you know. Anyway, I found in the wall of the castle, just the old crumbling rock wall, I found these flowers growing out of it. They were, you know, white petals, yellow center, maybe daisies. I'm bad at flowers, but they might have been. They looked like daisies anyway. And they were growing right out of the cracks in the wall. And I was so struck by this that, you know, this castle made in like the 1200s. And after all this time, these flowers were growing right out of the cracks, right out of the rock itself. Life was springing forth from cold gray stone. And I found it so inspiring. I took some pictures of it. I think one of those photos is actually up in my office. Not that I've been to my office recently because there's a pandemic happening. But that's one of the photos I have in my frame there, is these flowers growing out of nothing in the most unlikely place. And it makes me think, you know, even with this parable today, even when we're not the good soil, God can make something happen in us. Even if we're just the path, God can make something grow in us. Even when we're the rocky soil, God can make something spring up. The weeds won't choke us off forever. This is the power of the fact that God is the one doing the work here. God is the one that makes this growth happen. Ultimately, I think today's story points me toward the grace of God, because it's not about what I do. I'm just the dirt. It's about what I allow God to do through me and what I recognize God doing through me. And once I see what God has in mind for me, then I can go and participate in that. I'm part of the thing. It's not that it happens without me. It can't happen without us. God's work can't happen without us, and yet God is the one responsible for that work. So we shouldn't be paralyzed. We shouldn't be afraid to go and do the things God wants us to do. Because ultimately, God is responsible. God is doing the work. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we know that we are forgiven, that we are loved, that we receive endless opportunities to be the good soil, to allow God to grow something through us, to allow flourishing for those around us, for our neighbors, through us. We know that God will keep planting, and when we trust in God and open our eyes and our hearts, we can see the growth that happens in us and through us. Now, it may not be glamorous, it may not be pretty, we might get dirty, but God will work through us. God will bear fruit through you and through me. Ultimately, I find it a heartening message that sometimes in order to follow Jesus, you just have to be the dirt. Let God do the work. Amen.